is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Call it backsliding. It's a term that we didn't invent. I looked it up in all of the versions of the scriptures. There's a reference to backsliding. There's good news and bad news about backsliding. Bad news is it's so easy to do. The good news is God reaches out and He will restore you if you'll repent of your backsliding. Backsliding is a slow process.
What does it mean to backslide in your faith? In today's message, Pastor Troy teaches that backsliding is a slow and steady falling away from the things of God. If you find yourself less passionate, less committed, and more into the things of this world, then you might be at risk of being a backslider. There's good news for you who have fallen into complacency. Jesus will forgive you and restore your zeal. Cry out to Him for mercy and forgiveness. God will heal you and restore your faith. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2.
We're in Hebrews chapter 2, four verses. We'll talk about drifting or how to avoid drifting. There's a difference in a boat that is driving being driven, and a boat that is drifting. Driving is intentional. There's direction, there's purpose, there's control when there's driving going on. But drifting, well, you're leaving yourself to the whims of the current. Whichever direction the current goes, that's the direction you're going. We want to talk about how to avoid drifting as a Christian, because we can't afford in our life following Christ to just drift wherever. There has to be some sense of direction. God gives us that direction. There has to be some sense of purpose. God gives us that purpose. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." The idea is, I don't waste my energies. I don't waste my energies on things that don't matter eternally. So let's look at a few things that will help us to avoid drifting, being aimless. Verse 1, we begin, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." The first thing we need to do if we're going to avoid drifting is heed the Lord. We need to heed the Lord. Heeding the Lord is the idea of listening, understanding, and reacting or responding to it, adjusting as a result of it. That would be heeding the Lord. The Hebrews, who the author is writing to, were in danger of returning to the law. They had heard about the Lord. They had heard about the grace of God, following Christ. But there were pressures from the outside now to return to the old ways, the old laws. And so they were that pressure was getting to them, and they were beginning to drift and move away from Christ and His sufficiency to the law again. And Paul has been reminding them that Jesus is greater than all this. And the idea here is, do you believe Him or not? If you believe Him, then hold on to Him. Follow Him. Yield yourself to Him. But if not, then you're going to drift. You're going to go wherever you find more value, more importance, more fulfillment, less pressure, less tribulation. So he says, therefore, begins this portion of the text. Therefore, in chapter 1, Paul has been exalting Jesus, lifting him up. He's greater than the prophets. God has spoken through him. He's greater than the angels. Therefore, whenever you see a therefore, I've heard you need to find out what it's there for. And this therefore is in light of the fact that Jesus is greater than the prophets and Jesus is greater than the angels. This should be our response. And he says we should give more earnest heed to what we've heard, to him, to what we've heard about him, what we've seen in him. Now keep in mind, the author is not speaking to the lost. He's not telling the lost, you need to give heed to Jesus. He's greater than all these things. No, he's speaking to those in the church. He says, give heed to the Lord. Why? Lest we drift away. We're all prone to drifting away if we're not anchored in. We call it backsliding. It's a term that we didn't invent. I looked it up in all of the versions of the scriptures. There's a reference to backsliding. There's good news and bad news about backsliding. Bad news is it's so easy to do. The good news is God reaches out and he will restore you if you'll repent of your backsliding. Backsliding is a slow process. And you don't realize it's happening. You don't just wake up one day and go, I'm backslidden. It doesn't just happen overnight that you go from walking where you thought in your mind you were to all of a sudden a backslidden state. It's a slow, subtle process. It would be like being on a boat that had anchor and you don't realize that something happened. The anchor was reeled in or the anchor broke off, whatever happens, but you don't realize it and you're comfortable. You go to sleep only to wake up and find that you've drifted. You're far away. And the problem with this drifting is we have a tendency to, as long as we can see Jesus, we're okay, even though he's getting smaller and smaller. You know, you say, okay, I still see him. He's there. But we go to sleep one day and we look at the same horizon and we go, where is he? And some of us get content with that even. Well, I know he's in charge. Can't see him, but I know he's in control. And we're backsliding. We're drifting. We're far, far away from him. Our desire should be to be close to him. That we see him very clearly, that we hear from him. You know how to drift? Very easy. You don't do anything. You don't pursue the Lord. Just take your eyes off him. That's it. Taking your eyes off him is like lifting anchor. Live however you think you ought to live. And you will drift. Because you have your own ideas. You have your own priorities. You have your own things that you lift up and exalt in your life as being most important. And you will drift from the Lord. He won't be centered. You'll be off center. So don't take heed. If you want to drift, use your own reasoning, your own understanding. If you want to drift, instead of reading the scriptures and reading the scriptures, which keep you balanced and completely informed, which are alive, stop reading those over and over and reading through all of them. And instead, take up books about the Bible and read those in the place of the scriptures. Take self-help books, become a better you. Focus on those things, and you will drift. You become a better you. You'll become better this, a better that, a better whatever. You can become a better leader, better father, better boss, better servant, better theologian. Just don't read the scriptures over and over so that you become a better Christian. That would be drifting. I came from a conference, very smart people. I mean, smart people, the kind I guess Trump's going to hire. Smart people. They're very smart, but they're Christian. And so my head felt like it was going to explode at times with all of the information. And I know the scriptures, but and they plowed into those things like I had never seen the scriptures plowed into. But they also make it very simple. And they said that one of the problems with people who get so smart, even in the church, Christians, who think they get so smart, is they stop reading the Bible and they start studying one thing. And when you do that, you get out of balance. You forget about all the scriptures that counter that so that you stay balanced. See, the reading of the Bible, the reading of the Bible, the scriptures, they keep you balanced because you begin to take on this idea and you lean towards this, but then you come across this one and it brings you back into balance. Like, okay, I'm not as sure then. I'm not as sure. The idea of reading the scriptures isn't that you know everything. We're not going to figure everything out. There's some tensions in the scriptures that I don't know, but they keep me centered. The balance of them. So that's why we've got to read the Bible, the Word of God, which is alive. If you find yourself leaning toward one portion and you say, I take this position, and I know there's some of those, and I don't understand those, but I don't listen to those because I'm on this one, then you could be getting out of balance. You could be drifting. Whether it's to one or two sides, legalism, you become more legalistic, or then there's the side of grace, free, easy grace. Those are the two extremes. And one of our problems is, in our own reasoning, we think that, okay, if I'm becoming too legalistic, I got to consider grace more. That's the balancer. Or if I'm too gracious, I need some laws, I need some rules. And we think that that's our fight. And guess what? In that whole equation, our eyes are off of Christ. It's on law, grace. And I'm trying to figure out and decide law and grace. And I'm drifting. But it's Jesus who we're to look to. Jesus is the answer to the person who's too legalistic.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Jesus is the answer. He forgives. He's gracious. He leads you. But Jesus is also the answer for the person who's trampling on the grace of God, because he says, I died. This is serious. This is a scripture today that's serious. If we don't fix our eyes on Jesus and we fix our eyes on two extremes or two sides or anything else, we begin to drift. And one day, we wake up thinking we were better than we were, only to find, how did I get here? How did I get so far away? And I tell you this because at that conference, they're saying the people who are starting to drift, some of them who are drifting into other things, are those who also have PhD and doctor and have taught at some of the seminaries. They're smart people, and they're drifting. It's interesting, smart about being smart. It seems our potential to drift is even greater. You know, the top atheists, smart people. The Christians who get off and lead so many astray, smart people. Be careful becoming such a smart person. Become a yielded person to the Lord. There's a huge danger in America of drifting. We have churches on every corner. I mean, that's great. We have Bible studies available for men, for women, you name it. We got this Bible study group, prophecy Bible study group. We have all kind of Bible studies, Bible study packages and series. We've got radio programs. You can listen to church on your way to church. You can listen to church after church. You can listen to church all the time and think you're growing. We've got Christian TV. We've got Christian bookstores. Now you can buy the little Christian gifts with Christian cards, Christian candy, everything. There's a wealth of information on the internet. You know what the danger is, though? The hardness of the heart. The hardness of the heart so that we think we're okay, but we hear everything so much, we're no longer impacted by it. That's a big danger. And so we don't take heed. We hear it so much, we don't take heed. We can hear truth so many times that our reaction is reduced to, I've heard that before, I've heard it actually better before, or that was well put. And so now our listening to the scriptures is reduced to not transformation, not conviction, but we begin to grade sermons. Or we hear a cute little saying in the sermon. Oh, we got to grab that and post it. That's our Christianity now. Oh man, look at this cute little saying and attach it to a kitten or something pleasant. And there's our, I'm serving the Lord, I'm witnessing. Look at that cute little saying with the kitten. Isn't that the cutest thing? But what does it say? Where's the depth? Where's the richness? Where's the conviction? It's a kitty. I don't like kitties, but I posted a kitty. Isn't that ghost? Isn't that like the Lord? It's not. We begin to listen for things to pass them on to others. We're not heeding them. We're delivering them. We listen, and that was for so-and-so, and that was for this person. Oh, man, I wish my husband or my wife or my friend were here. That was for them. And we listen now for others. We got it. Soon, callous begins to form over your heart. You hear the truth, but you're unmoved by it. Nothing changes in you. Life goes on as normal. I remember a couple that I knew, and they were in a relationship, an ungodly relationship together. And I remember they would go to church. And as they would go to church, I would watch because they would talk about, you know, physical relationships, those kinds of things. And so I would see, all right, is this convicting or what? And I would see them looking at each other, trying not to know, let the other person know that I'm convicted by this. And so they'd kind of look at the other one and see, are they okay with this or not? And the other one's looking back. And the conviction was there. And you know what happened? No change. No change. And you know what it led to? Eventually, they just stopped going to church. It wasn't all that important. You see, when the word of God stops transforming so that you depend upon it, you sense you don't need it. When you don't need it, you don't need church, you don't need fellowship, you don't need all of those things. They're not that important. I can skip. It's not a big deal. And then skipping a day or a week becomes a month, hit and miss. Then you're down to the two times a year, the two minimum basic requirements of being a Christian in our culture, Christmas and Easter. So there's a huge danger in our country of drifting because it's so available. We are blessed. We claim that we are blessed. But is it a blessing? It seems that those Christian cultures where it is forbidden to worship the Lord, where you have to go underground and hide and risk your life to worship the Lord. They have more active participants. Their worship is more alive. Their Christianity is more zealous. And there's more power in fewer. So maybe that's actually better. Throughout Israel's history, whenever things were going so well, they turned from the Lord. They drifted. But whenever things got difficult, they cried out to the Lord. And guess what? Every time, over time, God was faithful. We drift naturally when we neglect the Lord. So if God is speaking to you anything, heed the Lord. Break off that relationship that does not honor him. Listen and break that relationship off that does not honor him. Invest in that greater commitment that he's asking. Return to those former works. If God is speaking, do it. Don't neglect it. Because see, you're forming patterns in your life right now. Habits of obedience, disobedience, hearing and neglecting, or hearing and heeding. And those habits, once you set them, they are hard to break. You ever had a habit? Try to break? Picking your fingernails, maybe? Any habit. They can be hard to break. So be very careful the habits that you're setting for yourself now. Beware, take heed so that you don't drift away. Why? Well, the author continues with a word of warning. Verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Neglect. The second thing we need to do is fear the Lord. There needs to be a fear of the Lord, an awe, reverence, and even a holy, trembling fear of God. He's speaking of the Jewish law when he refers to angels that had given, and they heeded the angels. The angels were involved in delivering or confirming certain portions of the law. In Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53, we read, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." By the direction of angels. And he says, if that which was directed by angels brought reward or brought curses or consequences, how much more salvation, which is in Christ? How much more if you neglect what he says concerning salvation, trusting in the Lord, faith, following him? How much more? If you return back to the law and you neglect the grace of God, how much more? If you trample the grace of God, not knowing that you were bought at a price, how much more? So the idea is Israel had feared the angels. They'd feared the law that brought consequences. And that they need to fear the one who is greater than the angels. How much more so?
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in